Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It is a Football Friday presented by Merit America. Visit them at meritamerica.org/super. You know what? You may not be hot, and I know you don't want to be cold, but there is another thing that we are right now. Late. Let's do the picks. All right. Into the weekend we go. I'm here in the process of jotting some things down because I need to pick the pick.
Fade, fade, fade.
Well, let's find out. We're going to get started by going straight to Sunday Night Football. Hang on. Before we do the pick, let me let Dibs know who plays. Dibs, it's the Chargers, and then they'll be hosting the Steelers.
Okay.
But it's at SoFi Stadium, which means there'll be a lot more Steelers fans
in the
building than Chargers fans. But technically, the Chargers are the home team, and they are also the favorite. So into Sunday Night Football we go. Show me your lightning bolt. The Chargers are favored by 2.5 against the Steel Curtain. Dibs.
Well, and the Chargers are down a couple of tackles. I know they picked up one at the trade deadline that they're going to try to lean on, but their two starting tackles are out, and the Chargers, 3-2 at home. The Steelers, 2-1 on the road. The Steelers kind of doing it a little bit with smoke and mirrors. They're 5-3 with a +7 differential. The Chargers, 6-3, better differential. The Chargers are one of 10 teams yet to have a bye this year, and the Steelers are a team that they've been pretty successful home and road, and I looked at this one and thought, you know what? The home team gets 3 points normally, and that's what this is. And something about the matchup and Pittsburgh, the way they went about it last week and getting that victory, it feels like it might be a little bit of a regression spot for the Steelers. So we went ahead and did it. We're going to go ahead and take the Chargers and lay the 2.5. A little bit of a letdown spot for Pittsburgh. They've got they beat the Colts last week. They've got the Bengals next week. It's a letdown. It's a travel spot. What's that?
Hey!
Why are we clapping?
Because we're also fading Willard.
There's a dynamic. There's a dynamic going on here that you don't know about.
No, I know fully. I know fully what it is.
No, you don't.
Lucas always will fade, and Grandy is a grand wagoner.
That's not what's happening.
No,
there's a dynamic going on that you don't know about.
I can't see Lucas.
I could just explain it to you. So
you won't?
I will. We got plenty of time. At the beginning of the year, Lucas Alexander decided to run a survivor pool. Did you join?
Of course not.
Of course not. Okay.
I'm only in the fantasy league
because you have to be. I know. You are antisocial.
I'm anti-Lucas Alexander Productions.
I get it.
Getting so there.
A bunch of people all join. Not an expensive survivor pool, just a couple of things that maybe fall out of people's pockets. Everything's fine. This is a traditional survivor pool. Once you take a team, you can't take the team anymore. It has been whittled down to 3 people. 2 of the people are on this show.
You and Grandy.
Correct.
Some nobody.
The third person is a mystery man named Brooks. For all we know, it might be Brooks Koepka.
Brooks.
Apparently, he joined the league, and Lucas doesn't know him.
There is a development. We believe he or she works for KCBS.
Okay, great. How this person joined the league?
I know this person.
Okay, so.
Boom. I know this person.
We don't know who they picked because we don't know this person. Grandy used the Broncos last night. That's why he doesn't have any fingernails left. But he won. So he's on to week 11.
Moving on.
I've already used the Broncos.
Okay.
I didn't use them last night. If you're in a survivor pool, you know this week is wonky. There are no obvious huge favorites. Not really, at least.
Of teams you have left.
Right. I don't have Buffalo left.
You don't have
Detroit. I can't
use
it. I do not have Detroit. Some people would say Colts, but it's a Germany game. I'm out on that game. So I dove deep into my gut and taken a risk. And I have the Chargers in the survivor pool.
Cuckoosh.
So Grandy, without knowing who Brooks is, thinks at this hour there's a chance that he will be a richer man Monday morning.
Fade.
Should the Steelers defeat the Chargers.
Fade.
So, now you could fade and still lose Chargers by one, Chargers by two. But I ain't fading crap because I think the Chargers are going to win this game by 8.
Yep.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
All right. Now,
Come on, A-Rod.
I look at the teams, and even without tackles, and they will have people who are lined up two spots away from the center.
Humans will be there.
They will have five on the line. Pittsburgh is in a tough spot. You come off the high of beating the Colts at home, second straight at home. You travel to L.A. before a divisional game. Think what you want about the Bengals. It's still a divisional game.
Well,
this one, to me, is a little bit of a tough spot for Pittsburgh.
I also think it's the wrong line. The Chargers are not even giving a field goal at home. I know it won't be a home environment. They're a better team. The Chargers are better than the Steelers, so fade that. Anyway.
I will.
Yeah, next game. All right, the Niners are playing the Rams. Here we go again, y'all. It's another Mac Jones special. The defense is haggard and hampered. The Rams, healthy as can be. But it's a rivalry matchup. The Niners get the better of it more often than not. They're at home, and they're getting 4.5 points. Dibs.
Well, this is always tough. I mean, Joe Lacob famously said, trades are hard. Divisional games are also hard. And I look at this matchup, everything you just said, the Rams are healthier. And honestly, if you look at the advanced analytics, the Rams are better. They've got the number two and only by a sliver defense in football. The Texans are slightly better in EPA. Sorry, Greg Cosell. It's expected points added, which is a good advanced analytic. The Rams are it.
Possibly.
On defense, they are that team. And honestly, if you looked at the first matchup, the Rams, I don't know if they were better the whole game, but they were better for three quarters, and yet the Niners won. So I look at this spot. The Niners have not had the bye yet. The Rams have. Home, sure, it's a home game. The money's coming in on the Rams. The spread is going up. It's now gone from 3.5 to 4.5, but I'm not going to blush at that. I'm 6-3 on Niner games, and I'm going to go 7-3, and I apologize to Kurt in Hayward Hills. Hey, Dibs, you picked the Rams. Get out of here. I'm taking the Rams and laying the points.
I think this happens on all radio shows. There are times where I want to climb across the table and punch you.
Cut that.
This is one of
for
those
HR?
Times. Yeah, this is one of those times.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is all we could have asked for. He's cold as hell, and he picked against the Niners. This is a dream.
Yeah. So
Picking the pick,
I thought you'd go Chargers and Niners, but
you're right.
You're right. Well, I was right one time. I mean, that's a better ratio.
No half credit.
Better ratio than you've had the last 3 weeks. But anyway.
I mean, you guys won't fade because you're chickens, even though you're Niner fans.
No. I think we're all fading.
Well, then clap and sing.
I don't do that on command.
Play the drop. Play the drop. Play it.
Fade.
There you go.
I want to hear yesterday's summit.
Oh my God.
That, if we can cut that was awesome.
That was all lit up.
That was live.
That was all lit. That was a lot of energy.
All right. The Niners are allowed to win, but
I don't need them. You don't need it. Well, I mean, yes, we need them to win, but
no, they're allowed to win.
They got to win. The Rams got to win by 5 for you to be right.
Right.
They don't need to just win.
Sure.
So anyway.
The Rams might both LA teams.
The Rams might win by 25.
Pretty gross, although the Chargers are still San Diego.
Right, and the Rams are still Cleveland, as I told you earlier in Higher or Lower.
The 5 o'clock
fade.
Thank you. The 5 o'clock sip is presented by Surfside. The Golden State Warriors are back. Celebrate with Surfside. 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, that's all, and 0 bubbles. It's not a seltzer. It's Surfside. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Here's what games we'll be sipping on this weekend. And we haven't really talked about it a lot. And I feel like before we get to Warriors Live, maybe we should bounce this around a little bit. Warriors and Nuggets tonight at 7, and it's a cup game.
Mm.
It's a cup game.
They're all cup games tonight.
I know they are. What color did we decide the floor is tonight in Denver?
Red.
Red?
Because when I think Nuggets basketball, I think red.
Well, that's fun. Whatever. Niners and Rams on Sunday, 125. So you can wait all the way to the end for that one. Warriors and Pacers back home, Chase Center, 5:30. Presents a little bit of a problem for me. I'll tell you about that in a second. That is the 5 o'clock sip presented by Surfside. All right. What would you do if you were me? Okay? WWYD. 5 o'clock, Sunday night, the show starts with Ephraim.
Mm-hmm.
I usually do it from my desk in my bedroom. My bedroom has a TV.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors-Pacers, 5:30. Chargers-Steelers, 5:20. What would you do?
Dibs? I was waiting.
Dibs?
Yeah. You watch the football. You watch the football. You record the basketball. You watch the football.
Yeah. Well, no, we're not recording.
You didn't give us a second option. Is there another room that has a second TV?
Well, here, I obviously have a laptop, but I also need kind of some use of it because we're doing a radio show.
Ah.
Now, in the past, I have also, I can take the bedroom TV upstairs and create a two TV situation. Then I'm doing the show from the living room, and there are other people who live there, and they are not always with decorum. And they also, like, people are cooking, so it's like pans are clanking, and people are trying to, like, scream about fantasy football. You know what I mean? You're going to have like an 11-year-old worried about what Kamani Vidal is doing.
Fade.
It's just difficult. It's difficult. So I just wondered if anybody had any suggestions. That's all. This is believe me, high-class problem. I get it. Got a radio show. That'll be fun. We got TVs. We got sports all over the place. I'll figure it out. It's not actually a problem. I just was like, how are you kind of ranking out Sunday? I don't love it when the Warriors play on Sunday night.
Especially at 5:30.
Yeah, because it's just Sunday night football. Like, who the hell doesn't get into Sunday night football? I don't care who the hell's playing.
And for the Warriors, it's 1 of 82.
Yes,
and
the Pacers. Like,
they're going to rock the Pacers.
I agree.
After what happened in Indiana. So even if you want to start on the Warrior game, by the time you get to 6:30, they're going to be up 68-41. And then you can boop over to the football game. I think the football game will be more competitive. It'll be closer. And I love the Warriors and I watch all the games, but when you come into this spot, like football, by the time you get to that game Sunday night, we're going to be in the second half of the football season. You realize that? We're already almost halfway through.
Yeah, we are. Technically, we're kind of there already.
In total
right?
games played.
Yeah.
We've played 135 of 272. So by the time that Germany game's over, we will be right at halftime.
That's depressing. I don't even like talking about that. That's depressing. Hey, by the way, real quick, we gotten any sort of a word from the arena about Jimmy Butler tonight? Anything going on? Hey, for those of you, we've been doing a lot of football today. It's a football Friday. But if you knew the injury report, obviously Steph is not even in Denver. So Steph is out tonight. But earlier today, if you missed this, Draymond Green was officially announced as available. So Draymond will be playing. There are 3 other questionable Warriors. Al Horford is one of them. Don't know necessarily about that. It's not a back-to-back situation. Moses Moody is also listed as questionable, as is Jimmy Butler. So do we have any insight on what's going on there?
The latest I have is still what you just read off. The NBA releases updates at the bottom of every hour, so coming up at about 15 minutes, there should be another one that comes out. Who knows if there'll be anything updated, though.
Okay, but when does Steve Kerr do his like gathering there?
Shortly
before,
thereafter.
Yeah, shortly thereafter. All right. So anyway, we're keeping an eye on that. And this one, like all these games, you know, the way you kind of just laid out the Niner-Ram game, a little bit of the same feeling with this Warrior-Nuggets game. It sort of does feel like you're marching into a minefield.
Yep, and then Denver favored by 9.5, according to ESPN, bet. So, yeah, it's a minefield. You don't have Steph, and you hopefully will have Jimmy and Draymond and the rest, but I do think that it's a little bit of the Denver, not that it's a revenge game, but I think that these players and these teams are aware of what happens in a season. And Denver, they played the Warriors, and Denver had to play 53 minutes, and they lost. And Aaron Gordon was bananas. Did 50 in that game?
50, yeah. He put up a burger.
Yeah, I wasn't asleep. I wasn't dreaming that. He had 50.
Yeah, 50
and they
burger.
Lost.
And they lost.
Yep. Right. So I think that Denver looks at this one and says, all right, you're in our house. It's the NBA Cup. It's a cup game. It matters more than just a regular game, and Denver hasn't lost at home, and the Warriors have had a really tough schedule. I think this is going to be a difficult game for the Warriors tonight.
Yeah, this has all the dynamics and the makings of just a bad setup for the Warriors. Honestly, if they're going to continue, and I can only have no choice but to believe them, because I don't think that they're stupid, and I don't think that they're liars, and I don't think that they're complainers. All the silly social media stuff that comes up when people talk about their schedule. But when Steve Kerr agreed yesterday with the premise that we threw out there, which was me listening to Nick Friedell on the morning show say that in all of his years covering the league, he's never seen a team have a tougher kind of setup to the start of the season in terms of their travel and they're moving around, and then add in that they're an older team and blah, blah, blah. And Steve's like, yeah, I agree. So that's not gone. I know that they didn't play last night, but the effects of that are with this team. And when that's the case, Denver, Colorado is the last place on earth you want to go. Like, if you're already short on wind, that's the last place that you want to go. Add in that the Nuggets are really good. Add in that Aaron Gordon is just a matchup nightmare for the Warriors. Add in that you beat them last time, and that's probably a little bit on their mind. Add it all up, and yeah, I put it here, put it this way, and I bet you'll agree with me on this. I would be more surprised by a Warriors win tonight than I would be by a Niners win on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep.
I mean, Niners are home, and they've already beaten that team, and football is such that, you know, a couple plays here and there, as we detailed when we did our 10 plays that lead them to be 6-3. The Niners can play well and win. Now, when they beat the Rams the first time, the Niners were, I mean, amazing. They were absolutely flat out awesome in that game. You scored your opening two drives. You had about 170 yards of offense, and you took the Rams by the neck and you won that game. Now, this one's a little bit tougher. And if you look at the schedule, you have Denver tonight, home for Indiana, and then it's 9 days. Six games on the road,
yep,
including two against Wemby. It's a stay and play. You've got two back-to-backs. You've got 6 games in 9 days in 5 cities and two back-to-backs.
And one of them is the champs. OKC.
Right. You go champs, Wemby, day off. Wemby, day off. New Orleans, fine. They're terrible. Day off. Orlando, Miami, back-to-back. That's your trip.
Yeah.
6 games, 9 days, 5 cities, old team. That's rough.
Do you think the Warriors will be 500 or better when they're done with the trip?
They're 5-4 now, and that will be 8 games.
But let's say that they're, I mean, solid shot that they are 6-5 coming out of the weekend to start that road trip.
Yep.
Solid shot. That's what, right? That's what the odds suggest.
Yes.
That they should be 6-5 when they hit the road to OKC. So, can they, on those 6 games, like if they go 3-3 or better, they can be better than 500.
3-3. They'll go 3-3.
You think so?
You lose to OKC. You split against the Spurs because that, a lot of times that when you have a stay in play,
tends to be how it works.
That's usually the way that goes. You beat New Orleans, and then you'll split Orlando and Miami.
Okay.
So it'll be loss, split, win, split. That's
which
the way
would,
I call
which
it.
Which would put them at 9-8 at the end of the trip.
And you know what?
I think
you
I'd,
would be
I think
happy.
I'd take that.
No
yeah.
doubt.
I think I know that sounds defeatist right now, but I think I would take that. You're essentially saying they'd be 4-4 between now and then. And with everything that they've been through and no Steph. And by the way, we got no word on this. He's not even with the team. I don't know if Steph's playing on Sunday.
Right.
I don't know if Jimmy Butler is playing either of these games. I have no idea. So with all of that, and the start and the schedule, and then just the sheer difficulty of who they're playing on that upcoming road trip. Yep, I think I would take that right now if you offered it.
No doubt. And then you come home and you have a 5-game homestand. You've got Portland and Utah in there and New Orleans. You got Houston and OKC. They're tough. I'm not saying that any team can't beat any other team, but when you get back from that trip to Miami, you will have played, I think, 17, or no, you've played like 13 of your first 18 on the road. Brutal. Now you do get a little bit of a deep breath with a 5-game homestand.
All right, we're talking out the Warrior game tonight and the Niner game on Sunday on 95.7 The Game, and it's presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Here's Kyle Shanahan today with all of the injuries in order.
All right, for the game, Ricky Purcell will be out. Brock Purdy, questionable. Dee Winters, questionable. Tatum Bethune, questionable. Ben Barch, questionable. Alfred Collins, questionable. Khalil Davis, questionable. Keon White, questionable.
Okay, so that's the list. That's the injury report. Here's Kyle on the quarterback situation.
Yeah, it'll be Mac again starting. Haven't decided whether to make him active or not, but he's further along this week than last week.
Okay, obviously talking about Purdy, about whether or not to make him active. And then speaking of Purdy, this is Kyle on his communication with Purdy throughout this process.
Just talking to him, which I don't do really till Saturday. Just talked about how the whole week went and stuff, and where, you know, I did it last Saturday with him, and see where he is this Saturday compared to a week ago, and knowing each week's a little bit different, and seeing how much better he's gone.
All right, so this is kind of where we started our conversation today. I don't think this is the wrong thing. I just think that what happens to a fan in this situation is things become a little counterintuitive. We want to show up as fans, watch games, have fun beverages and food, and root for our team, and therefore believe in our team. That's the anatomy of a fan. Some are more positive, some are more negative. I get that. But that's the anatomy of somebody, I think, who actually cares about the outcome of these games. And that's why this year is such a mind bleep. It's a complete mind bleep. Because you can look at what has happened to this team. You can look at the roster. You can look at their division. You can look at the lack of movement at the trade deadline. You can look at the lack of rushing back Brock Purdy, Ricky Pearsall, and Brandon Ayuk. You can look at all of those things and go, well, I mean, they don't have what they need. They don't have what they need to function at the level that we consider successful. And then you run over to the standings and it goes, yeah, they're 6-3. And you're like, what? That doesn't add up. And so that's kind of what I'm getting at today. I think a fan is in a weird spot because we're supposed to rah-rah this thing. And it doesn't feel like that. And the front office is not telling us that. They're not rah-rahing this thing.
Well, they're rah-rahing it, but they're not going all in, all chips to the middle. They're basically just going week to week, and you got to the deadline, and it was either you like spend a lot of draft capital to get a big boy, or you go to the bottom of the market, which is what they did. And I was thinking about this yesterday. If they would have made the Keon White and Cleveland Furl moves on deadline day, would fans have been more happy? I think that they would have been more satisfied, but they wouldn't have been totally satisfied. But the deals they made happened to be earlier in the cycle. And so, you know, fans wanted you to get to the deadline and do something big. But I don't think that that would really help this team. And I said this to you in the weeks leading up to it. You don't need one player. You need three or four. And you can't go out there and find three or four And if you wanted to bring in one of the big boys and give up a first and a second or whatever it was, that's bad business.
Yeah, again, the whole time we've been talking about this, I don't think that the Niners are doing this incorrectly. I was disappointed on Tuesday because I just wanted to see them make another move almost in an emotional way. Like someone hit me on the YouTube chat much earlier and goes, Willard, do you honestly think Arden Key would have changed the outcome of the season? No, I don't. That's not what it's about. It's so funny the way we translate messaging. I heard Florio come on the station earlier this week, and they said, what's the message that gets sent to the locker room when there's no trade made? And he goes, the message that's being sent to the locker room is that we believe in you. We believe in you. Like, you can do this. You don't need any help. And it's so funny because that's not the message at all. The message to a team that has achieved something when we want to say we believe in you is, let's help you. You've achieved something, so let's help you keep pushing through the second half of the season. So it's almost as if you can come away from opposite reactions and come up with the same conclusion. You make a move, it's because we believe in you. You don't make a move, it's because we believe in you.
Right.
Like, it's PR.
It just depends on, you know, what you as a coach tells your guys going into
it. Right, so I get why the Niners didn't quote-unquote do anything, and I never thought they'd do anything big, but it still feels disappointing. And Cam Inman comes on earlier. I'm like, what's going on with Brock and Ricky? And he's like, the human body doesn't heal as quickly as you want it to always. He's clearly right, but let's just talk about us for a second. There's no way to escape the feeling that the front office for the Niners is telling us right now, this is just not that urgent. It's just not that urgent right now. Sure, we want to win. Sure, they've done great. Sure, we think we can do some things. It's not that urgent. It's not that urgent. We're not all in on this year, and that's probably the right thing to do. I just think that's a very difficult thing for a fan to process.
Well, for a fan, I mean, you honestly can do it however you want to do it as a fan, and if you want them to go balls to the wall every time at the deadline, then you can be that kind of a fan. I look at things a little bit more pragmatically, and I look at this team, and yeah, you are 32nd in the league right now in yards per carry as a rushing team. Okay, so go out there and fix that at the deadline. Well, you can't, and you have maybe the best running back in football. He's one of two or three. Jonathan Taylor, sure, he's having that kind of a year. So what can you fix at the deadline that would help you be better than 32nd in the league in yards per carry? I don't think that fix is out there. Now, the other piece is what I always talk about, Mark, which is complementary football. And when your defense is good and your defense gets you the ball back, then your ground game suddenly gets better. So could you have gotten a better defensive line at the deadline? Sure. And I do think that they are going to continue to try to find people, practice squad people, or, you know, players that get released or cut or whatnot to try to make this team a little bit better and a little bit deeper. But I don't look at that team and think, put 6-3 aside. Just look at who they are as a football team. What do you need to get better? Well, you need your first-round wide receiver to come back. You've got two of them who don't play. You need your Hall of Fame linebacker to play. He won't. You need your edge rusher to play. He won't. So you can't replace the guys you need to replace no matter what you do.
No, of course you don't. But the other side or a way of looking at it is you're 6-3, and us as fans, we can sit here and listen to pragmatic, smart, long-term thinking, the right thing to do. We can hear all of that. But that doesn't fire you up for, like, the Rams are coming to town and we're 6-3. And let's be real, defense isn't good enough. And what sucks about that is actually, if you do a little bit of a dive on the defense, man, they could have been really good this year. And actually, if you had made some moves, I do think they could have been serviceable. Not Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, but they could have been serviceable. The one thing I'd love to bring up, and whenever everybody does the whole, like, they were 6-11 last year, and Brock Purdy sucked, and all of this stuff that's just a complete gravy train. It's a total cherry pick. Here's a number or a set of numbers I'd love you to hear. And it's actually, it's not nearly as fun as your highlight clips, but this is why they're 6-3. You want to know why the Niners went 6-11 last year? Last year, run defense EPA, 29th. This year, 6th. Last year, red zone defense, 31st. This year, 8th. Last year, now this is an offensive one. Average separation, remember all that talk?
Oh, yeah.
32nd last year. This year, 24th. Not great, but significantly improved. And then, don't forget special teams. Special teams EPA, last year, 32.
Mm.
This year,
11th.
2.
Really? All right. Yeah?
That's why they're 6-3, and that, I think, is at least one point in the favor of, God, could you guys done something to bolster that group that, while missing key players, is producing. You stay in games, you win some games, and you're halfway home.
Yep, yep.
You're halfway home.
And I could have done the, like, 10 plays as to why the Niners last year were 5-7.
Yes, for sure.
And, you know, we could have done the, you know, the big drop by, I always want to say it's Ronnie Bell, not Ray McLeod. I got Ray on my brain because we just saw him play. But
he dropped stuff, too.
The Ronnie Bell drop, and then there was a PI, and there was the Jake Moody miss. I mean, we could go through the same plays last year as to why you lost those games. And this year, I did the 10 plays that I thought were big reasons why you are 6-3. And it just, you had me thinking about that when you were just laying it out. The defense has been, I think, mostly good, even without Bosa and Warner. They've played a certain way. You may not love it because they don't really sack the quarterback, but they play a good, solid, like, we're going to give you 4, we'll give you 5, we'll give you 3, we'll give you 6. And then in the red zone, they do tighten down.
It's actually crazy. They don't sack you and they don't turn you over.
Nope.
But you don't score a ton of points. It's not the way to live. But they're doing it. They're doing it. And I think that's why people want some sort of a dynastic option that could come in and maybe make this, I don't know, the 10th or 12th best defense in football. Nobody thinks it's going to be 1, 2, or 3. I think it could have been top 5 with Fred and Nick. I really do. By the end of the year, still got a lot of young guys, and they would need to perform. The safety position's a mess, blah, blah, blah. But those two guys, they cover up a lot of stuff. Now your stuff's not getting covered up. And it's terrifying to go against a veteran player like Matt Stafford, who's got Puka on one side and Devontae on the other. You bunch of rookies out there chasing these guys around. Really, really hard. Now, the rest of the way after this, you're not going to be facing Matt Stafford-type quarterbacks. So I get it. But to me, I accept it, but I think we got to put a name on it. And that is that the front office is telling us with their actions that they are not all about this year. I accept it, but it's the truth.
It is the truth. And if you look at, like, other teams around the NFL, look at the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are having a phenomenal year, and they got to the deadline, and they thought, yeah, we're all about this year. Give me sauce. Let's put some sauce on it. So they went out there, and they got sauce. And so they parted with a couple of high draft picks, and they did it because they are all about this year. And I do think that even though the Niners are 6-3, if you look at the NFC, it's kind of a mishmash of, are you good? Are you good? Mm. Like, if I ask you right now, like, who's really good in the NFC, you could make an argument for maybe 6 different teams, but all those teams will break your heart. Green Bay, they'll break your heart. I do like Philly this weekend coming off a bye. Detroit is a team that, I mean, you love Detroit, right? And then then they come out and they lay an egg against Minnesota.
They're only 5-3.
Right.
I'll do a side bet with you on that Eagle Packer. Is that the Monday night game?
Yep.
Oh, good. Then I'll just save it.
Save it.
Oh, dude, did you just tip your pick?
I mean, the pick is in.
You just tipped your pick.
I can always change it.
That's true.
And anyway. I've flipped 2 picks, and one of them I flipped and I won. One of them I flipped and I lost.
So you Flipper Anderson.
Well, thank you. Single game record holder, Granny. I'm glad you learned something today, finally.
Yeah.
Yards in a game. But we'll get to Monday. We'll see. If I have another dreadful week, then I might flip that pick.
Okay. All right.
I'm allowed to.
You are. That's true. Jose in Oakland.
Fade.
Okay. That's about enough out of him.
It's actually not.
It's really good.
Please save it for
Fade.
I want to hear the crowd at the
Yeah, we got to go back and get that.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The sea was angry.
You see what happens when Grandy is getting under your skin is you try to put him to work in the middle of the show.
Fade, fade, fade.
He's doing stuff. He can't go get yesterday's sound.
He's not doing anything.
Sure he is. He's monitoring the Warriors injury report.
I'm getting ready for Warriors Live in 25 minutes.
We have an update, by the way, that there's no update.
Not an update.
The report comes out at the bottom of every hour. 5 minutes ago, new report. Jimmy's still questioning.
And guess who tracked that report down, Dibs?
Mark Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All he has to do is hit F5 on his computer. Like, attaboy.
And then I had to open up a new PDF.
You know what the F stands for on F5?
Fade.
Okay, Jose.
Okay, I'm going home.
Jose in Oakland, what are you doing, brother?
Hey, how are you guys? Coming home. Listen, bear with me for a second, okay? I think this thing about the Niners not doing anything at the deadline, I think it came from upper management, okay? Because I cannot believe that Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch were dumb enough not to ask for Quinnen Williams. And if they did, I cannot believe that they were not able to give up what the Cowboys did for the guy. All along, they keep saying they want a guy that is going to make an impact. He's going to make an impact for this year and moving forward. That's Quinnen Williams. Quinnen Williams is the guy they've been looking all along, you know, to replace DeForest Buckner. For years after DeForest left, they tried, even with the 17th pick or whatever they got, they didn't get anything out of it. The guy is not even in the team anymore. The guy is a generational player. And if they're looking at 2026 and they give up on this year, they still fail because Quinnen Williams would have been able to help him next year. As far as draft picks, if they're worried about, you know, having less draft picks next year, you know what? You have Mac Jones in the team. You could have traded him, and you would have been able to get more draft picks than they would have to give up for Quinnen Williams. So like I said, the fact that they didn't do anything, it tells me upper management told them, look, give your picks. Why? Because next year they're probably going to drop more salary, and they're counting on those draft picks next year to replace the players that are going to be leaving. To me, it's stupid because next year is not the best draft. 2027, that's the year where they really have to worry about keeping the draft picks.
Well,
Jose,
can I add something there? Because that's interesting what you just said, that 2027 is the year that you don't want to give up draft picks. That's the year that the Cowboys gave up their first rounder for Quinnen Williams. They gave up a second rounder next year and a first rounder in 2027 and a player. And so, listen, respectfully, I disagree with you because if you're talking about needing to replace higher-priced players with draft picks, you need to have those draft picks. So I like Quinnen Williams too, but that price for me was way too high considering the Niners situation. Yes, he helps going forward, but you're dumping even more salary into a situation. You're losing two key draft picks, including one in the draft that you really like, which is a full year and a half from now. And therefore, that's going into year two of Brock Purdy's contract. To me, that is that's too expensive, Jose.
Do you honestly trust that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are going to be able to get a player the caliber of Quinnen Williams on year 2027, even if it was the second draft pick, round draft pick?
They
think of picking up on the first round.
Yes, I do, quite frankly, Jose. And that's, quite frankly, not even the question, because there's actually about five different ways that you can try to acquire defensive linemen between now and then. And we talked about this, Jose. Thanks so much. Appreciate the call, and I really do get the sentiment. But we kind of talked about this earlier when someone called in and was like, why keep your draft picks? You suck at making them. Nobody thinks that way. You just and you can't think that way. And they don't miss on every first rounder. It is funny that they do better from the fourth to the seventh than they do from the first to the third. It's weird. It's frustrating. But it doesn't mean that you should just give up all of your picks, especially in a year like this where I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we don't think it's going somewhere super special. That's not how this feels.
Well, I mean, it feels like you should be a playoff team. You could be a playoff team. So make the playoffs and we'll go from there.
Yeah, which they can do that. They can do that anyway. All right. Kickoff show Sunday with Hall of Fame nominee Lo Neal and Evan Giddings at 11 a.m. Laughing Monk Sunnyvale. Early games, food, drinks, games in the parking lot. And if you're going to the game, we get the free shuttle that goes to and from Laughing Monk to the game. And it's free, as I said. So sign up now. Spots go quickly. 957thegame.com. Go there and sign up now for the free shuttle. All right. Coming up next, we'll get you the results on the Dub Nation Twitter poll. We're probably going to get the breaking news here very shortly with regard to the availability of Jimmy Butler and maybe Moses Moody as well. Plus, we have some more phone calls to work our way through, and some of them are of a very special variety. Willard and Dibs.
My pick? It's with Denver. You take Denver, and you lay the 8.5. Cuckoo!
Hey, 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 hey.
You take the Broncos and you lay the 8.5 cocoons.
That's too many points.
Cocoons.
It's too many points.
Cacao.
Broncos win by Cacao. 6.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Well, that didn't age very well. Yeah. And how about a buzzer for Willard because he was wrong. Broncos going to win by 6.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
We played the pick from yesterday. The pick is in.
My pick?
Okay.
It's with Denver. You take Denver and you lay the 8.5. Cuckoo!
Hey, 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 hey,
hey,
hey, hey, hey,
what? You take the Broncos and you lay the 8.5. Cuckoo!
That's too many points.
Cuckoo!
It's too many points.
Cacao!
Broncos win by 6.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. It was any number under 8.5 is fine. Yeah, I wasn't right, but whatever. I threw something out there. Broncos didn't cover.
No.
Yeah.
Fade.
You know what's funny is...
Not that.
Yeah, I thought that was very funny.
He played it twice.
Well, you could probably play it about 16 more times, and then you'd get an accurate view of what would happen going into and out of commercial breaks live at the Summit. People were fading you everywhere you went. You went to the bathroom... Hey, hey, hey,
seriously.
Hey. You came back from the bathroom. Hey, hey, hey. It didn't, dude.
The only time the people weren't chanting fade at me is when I had my 3-year-old daughter in my arms.
Fade, yeah. Fade, fade.
And I respect the listeners for giving me at least that moment. Daddy, why are they fading you?
Fade, yeah. Fade, fade.
Oh, honey, it's okay. It's okay.
I got to admit, I did lean in and whisper to her, your dad's going down tonight. I did. She didn't yike it. She didn't yike it.
She didn't yike it.
No. She gave me a fist bump.
Yeah.
She looks really uncertain about it, though.
There was a lot going on.
Yeah, she's like, that is not something I want to do, but I feel like I should, so I will.
Yeah, it
was
kind
of the vibe I got.
Super cute watching her and Shasky's son, LJ.
Yes.
And Shasky apparently went to Target and bought, like, one of those little Tykes basketball
hoops.
Yes,
he did, yeah.
And so they're out there hooping a little bit. Yeah,
you got to – dude, the boys need
– yeah.
They need to be occupied. But yeah, apparently did Shasky's son dunk on your daughter?
I don't believe so.
I heard a rumor that he did.
She was up on the up on like the fountain curb, and she was very. I mean, no surprise. Only child, daughter, old dad. She was demanding, and so Shasky's nephew, who was watching Shasky's son,
yes.
kept moving the hoop toward her so that she could, you know, basically have a little easy bucket. Without having to get down in the fray.
There's a rumor going around that LJ dunked on her and then gave her the too small.
Yeah.
You bastard!
I'm not kidding. You get to ask him. Bit of heck, somebody.
Shannon!
Shannon!
LJ!
I did that on the air. I thought it was pretty good.
Leave her alone! Anyway.
Mouse in the house!
We got... now you got the frog in the throat. I think we got an injury update. Grandy?
If you consider this an update, the three Warriors that are questionable, Jimmy Butler, Al Horford, and Moses Moody, are all game-time decisions.
Oh, jeez. Why?
Not GPD, GTD.
What?
Thank you. It's a two, but
Jimmy,
I don't
a low back strain, same with Moses, and then Al has left foot soreness.
Is it me, or, like, I just want to be, like, BS. You know, like, how much does Rick Celebrini make for the Warriors? What's his salary?
Millie.
Okay. You pay this guy $1 million to be like, I don't know, man. Let's just go out on the court and see how the hell it feels. Yeah, if I poke you there, does it feel all right? Oh, let's give it a whirl. You're only a $50 million a year investment. Oh, you feel good? Oh, I don't buy it. Now, look, it's their right to tell us whatever the hell they do or don't want.
Right. I think it's more you, like that. Like they
you
get
know
in the locker
what
room
they're playing.
And, you know, they get together and Rick Celebrini's like, huh, all right, guys, we want to keep it nebulous. Hey, Al, we're going to go with foot soreness. How your feet feel?
I mean,
how do you think they feel, Doc? I'm 39. I've played 35,000 minutes in the association.
I mean, is he
of
like,
course my feet hurt.
Hey, Al, I'll race you to the popcorn stand. If you can beat me, you play. If not, you're out. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But anyway, engagement is everything on the court and in life. Vote in our engaging Dumb Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page before every game. It's presented by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler. All right, Warriors are without Stephen Curry again tonight. They talked about, Steve Kerr confirmed this, a top four seed. So we asked, how many games does Steph need to play this year for the Warriors to realistically get a top four seed? 75 or more, 65 to 74, 50 to 64, or could they do it with Steph playing fewer than 50 games? Engaging Dub Nation poll says, same thing I voted for is the winner. I bet you did too. 65 to 74 games is at 40.8%. Second place at 32% is 75 plus, which I think is optimistic at this hour, knowing that he's already missed two. 50 to 64 is at 22%. And God bless 4.2% of you who think the Warriors can get a top four seed with Steph Curry missing half the year. Good luck to each and every one of you.
Those are the Kuminga stands.
Right.
Let JK cook.
I guess.
Those are those people. And I love them.
You know who we're going to let cook?
What do you think?
Andy in Los Gatos.
Okay.
Hi, Andy. What's up?
Man, I'm just frustrated with my Niners. I don't know how you're not going to go and spend draft capital to improve this team. You've got a good team. Your defense was doing really good. You got your defensive coordinator back who's just on fire. Probably going to be gone next year. And if you look at every single 20 pick on the first round since 2019 for the Niners, they're either out with a knee injury or they've been a disaster. Why not use some of that draft capital to get some help on this team?
Yeah, I mean, Andy, I know a lot of people feel that way. I will say one thing about something you just threw out there. I do not think Robert Saleh is going to be gone next year. I think the idea of a head coaching cycle, sometimes that takes a little time. There's also specific relationships that lead to those hirings. I could be wrong. He definitely could be a candidate. But I'm going to put my chip in the idea that Robert Saleh is still going to be back next year as the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. And we've gone over it five times.
Yep.
Those of you who think that the Niners suck at the first round, so therefore they should never do it again, I just disagree. That's all. I don't know. I don't know how else to say that.
I don't think that they're good at it, but it doesn't mean that you give up on it, especially when you need offensive line help in the future. You've got a left tackle who is a Hall of Famer, but he's old. You've got needs that you want to fill, and you need to fill them with draft capital to get cheap labor. And that's also why you didn't bring in Quinnen Williams. He's $20 million a year next year, and that would take a huge bite out of your cap.
One more call. Kurt in Hayward Hills. Hi, Kurt. What are you doing?
Hey!
Kurt, where were you?
Willard and Dibs, the two best sports boys in town. Willard and Dibs.
How you doing, Kurt?
Yeah.
I'm doing great. And let me tell you something about the Lambs. That's what they are, Lambs. Not the Rams, Lambs. But let me tell you about the Lambs. Let me tell you something. In the last 5 years, in 10 games since 2025, the 10 games that we paid them, we beat them 7, and the Rams only won 3 times. And also at the Levi's Stadium, in the last 9 games, the Rams only won twice. So what does that tell you? The Rams are not going to beat us tomorrow, that's for sure. And it's all about defense, and it's all about Robert Saleh. It's all about Kyle Shanahan. And you know why they're 6-3? I'm going to tell you why they're 6-3. Christian McCaffrey, defense. And also they're 6-3. Another reason why, because they don't have an easy record. That's another thing. And like this weekend, we get Rice back. We need to rush the ball. We need his interception. Robert Saleh needs to crack down on that offense. And for sure, we should win this game. And by the way, Dibs, I'm a little disappointed in you. Mm. You went against the 49ers after you've been a 50-year member. With 50 years, you've been a rim. 50 years you've been with the 49ers, and you're still going against us, brother? Come on, my friend. Come
that's
on.
That's a stat.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
No, I'm just – I was going to ask you, Kurt, if I wasn't, you know, one of the best sports boys on town and I was just somebody who you saw who picked against the 49ers, what would you say to me?
Yeah.
Again!
Hey! Yeah, I think I will get out of here.
Get out of here, Dibs.
For Lucas.
Right now.
For Randy.
No, look it up.
For Hang Cam.
On. We can't do that yet.
For everybody.
No, you can't do that yet.
I'm Mark Willard.
No, you're not. No, you're not the Brock Purdy of the show. But anyway.
I'm the Brock Purdy of the Willard and Dibs experience.
We can't leave yet because of your thing.
What thing?
I got to tell people that it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Full service banking, no compromises.
Warriors Live is next.
Can't wait.
Jimmy Butler's a game time decision.
Aren't we all?
You want to do it again tomorrow?
No.
No. Well, Kurt thinks there's a game tomorrow, so we probably shouldn't do it tomorrow.
He's right. The Niners won't lose to the Rams tomorrow.
That's a stat.
Coo-coosh.
Yeah.
You want to do it on Sunday?
Busy.
All right. How about Monday?
I'll be here.
It's going to be a big day.
It's great.
What a week, y'all. Thank you so much.
Yeah. For Lucas, for Grandy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's your thing. I'm being obnoxious. I'll get out of here.
You want to try it?
No.
Do it.
You for won't. Lucas, guys, what a week. Man, I love you all so much. I'm Mark Willard, and I'm getting emotional over here.
For Dibs and Grandy.
For Lucas and Grandy.
And Lucas.
And Cam. And Risotto, and whoever else happens to be out there.
What do you want
to
do?
And my partner, Dibs. I'm Mark Willard.
And?
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Are you seriously going to fumble this?
Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
All you got. There.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.